Hi, thank you for coming. So this study is on the associations between intimate partner violence and demographic and socioeconomic characteristics of adults in Hawaii using BRFSS data from 2013. And first, I'd like to give my acknowledgments to my co-authors, Donald Hayes, who's actually here today. He's my mentor in Hawaii. And Jenny Alu and Joanne Higashi, who were critical to developing especially the conclusions of this study. And in addition, the Hawaii BRFSS survey is supported by a grant from CDC and funding for the specific questions in sexual violence and intimate partner violence modules that were used for this study are provided by the Hawaii State Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Special Funds. And last but not least, a big thank you to CSTE and CDC for funding the fellowship program. So a little background on intimate partner violence. It is often not seen, but it is very prevalent, and it affects 27.3% of women and 11.5% of men nationwide. And the CDC defines intimate partner violence as any physical, sexual, or sexual violence, stalking, or psychological aggression by a current or past intimate partner. It is associated with unintended pregnancies, chronic stress, reproductive disorders, and psychological disorders, which comes at not only a high cost to the individual, but also to society through healthcare costs and loss of productivity through work days that are lost. So the purpose of this study was to evaluate the associations between intimate partner violence and demographic and geographic variables to help inform public health programs and target high-risk populations in Hawaii, which has a very unique population consisting of a lot of different groups, like these specific Asian groups that are often not captured in national studies. And the hope is to find these groups early on in order to implement prevention strategies. So, as mentioned previously, data came from the 2013 Behavioral Risk Surveillance System survey, and it included the responses from 8,138 adults, male and female. And in order to evaluate our outcome of intimate partner violence, we first had to assess whether respondents were safe to answer questions. So in this preliminary question, before they get to the module questions, they ask whether the respondent is in a safe place to discuss sexual violence. And if they said no, then they were completely skipped on both modules and subsequently not in this analysis. So if they answered yes, then they were asked four questions about intimate partner violence: whether they had ever experienced threats, attempts, occurrences, or occurrences of physical violence or unwanted sex. And if they said yes to any of those four questions, they are categorized as having experienced intimate partner violence. So we did sex stratified analysis because early on we found that males and females had very different rates of intimate partner violence, and my co-authors who work with these programs had suggested doing sex stratification because they knew that there could be different risk factors and that males and females just have different experiences with IPV. So using SAS, we did multivariate logistic regression, and we examined variables like county, race, education, marital status, age, home ownership, and insurance status. For females, the final model was adjusted for race, age, education, and marital status. And for males, the final model was adjusted for race, age, and marital status. So these next two tables, is technically one table, just give the basic breakdown of the sample. So we can see that 70% of the population in Hawaii resides in Honolulu, and roughly a third of the population is Caucasian. But we also see that, unlike probably anything else in the nation, we have these higher or these higher numbers in these other Asian groups like Filipino and Japanese. And I can also see that most of Hawaii's population is actually insured, and about 2/3 of the population owns their own home. So overall, we found that 15.8% of females experience some form of IPV in their lifetime, and compare this to 10.2% of males that experience some form of IPV in their lifetime. So now we get to the exciting, complex-looking graphs. And we can see that these are all for adjusted odds ratios by the different covariates. So among females, we can see that there are these Asian groups that have significantly lower odds of IPV compared to the reference group of Caucasians. This ranges from, as you can see, 0.18 among other Asians to 0.52 among the other group. And by age, I think the most notable is that among the elder population, they experienced 0.43 times the odds of intimate partner violence compared to the 50 to 64-year-olds. And by education, we can see that for females that have some college education, they're at higher odds, 1.46, compared to females with a college degree. And by marital status, we see that those women who were divorced or separated have 3.9 times the odds of intimate partner violence compared to women who are married or widowed. And for males, what's interesting is there are very similar trends where some of these other Asian groups, the Filipino, Chinese, and other Asian groups, have lower odds of intimate partner violence than the Caucasians. And by age, we see less significantly so, but with the elder group also at lower odds. And by marital status, we see that males who are divorced or separated are also, like females, at higher odds of intimate partner violence, as well as unmarried or never married males. So we just saw a couple of trends of IPV, but we can't forget that there was some respondents who never got included in the analysis during the first stage of determining whether they were in a safe place. So we had some concerns that there would be differential underreporting because some groups might be influenced by their cultural norms into feeling uncomfortable talking about intimate partner violence and sexual violence. So we wanted to do a secondary analysis, just a prevalence estimate, to see whether there was a difference in the groups. And so we did another sex stratified analysis, and we examined the same demographic variables that were included in our IPV model. And we found that overall, 11.2% of females felt that they were unsafe to discuss intimate partner violence. And very interestingly, a very similar 11.1% of males also felt that they were unsafe to answer sexual violence or intimate partner violence questions. So here, these graphs show a side-by-side comparison of the females who experienced IPV versus the females who didn't feel safe to answer questions to answer IPV questions. And the darker purple is IPV rates, and the lighter purple is the not feeling safe rates. So you can see that for Caucasians, while they have the highest rate of IPV, they also have the lowest rate of not feeling safe and thus of non-response. So then you look at these other Asian groups, and you can see that for almost all of them, the population that didn't feel safe is higher than the population that responded positively to intimate partner violence. And for age, we can see, if you remember, the elder population was at lower odds of IPV, but you can see here that almost a quarter of them didn't even answer or feel safe to answer questions about IPV. And by education, we can see that almost a third of females that have less than a high school degree did not feel safe to answer questions on IPV. And now we're getting into the male results, and very similar to the female results, we have the Caucasians with the lowest rate of non-response, and these other Asian groups even more significantly. So we can see that there's a higher rate of non-response, and as high as 26% among the Filipinos. And similar, about a third of the males that had less than a high school education did not feel safe. And by age, 16% of the elder population. So I think what's really interesting is that these rates of non-response were similar between males and females, and the trends on the different rates between the groups were very similar. So they share these risk factors of age, race, and education, which makes it really obvious that there is something going on if both males and females have this similar experience. And potential explanations that we were thinking of are that some respondents could actually be perpetrators, and because the preliminary question only asks, are you comfortable or are you in a safe place to answer questions about SV or IPV, it doesn't talk about specifically IPV victimization, so some may be hesitant to incriminate themselves. And in addition, there could be language barriers. A lot of groups in Hawaii, especially among the elder population, might not have English as a first language. And of course, cultural influences, as we discussed earlier. And overall, though, we saw that IPV victimization varied by demographic and socioeconomic factors as well. So it's important that we do these kind of analyses by sex, because we saw that males and females have different experiences, and while they share some risk factors, they also have some that are gender specific. And by finding these risk factors, and we're able to focus our programs on these population characteristics for more effective prevention strategies. So some of the strengths of this study are that it was a statewide representative sample, which included all of the islands, and we were able to examine unique racial groups that are sometimes lost in national studies. And this was one of the first times that this kind of study was done in Hawaii, so it helped set a foundation for future analyses. And of course, we have limitations. One thing that is really interesting to my co-authors is perpetrator information, but that kind of question isn't asked in the BRFIS survey. But maybe one day in the future, that would be really interesting to look at. And of course, all of this information, all of the results were self-reported via the telephone, so there's always limitations with that. And we were also brainstorming on ways to improve survey methodology to help with the problem of not feeling safe. So we were thinking maybe it would be better if we could provide an option for respondents to call back at a better time for them, or also to provide translators for those that might not understand the topic, and just to increase response, maybe an incentive to complete the survey. So in conclusion, this study helps identify groups at high risk and at high risk for IPV, and groups at high risk for not feeling safe to discuss IPV, so that in the future we can go out and maybe find these groups and open up discussion about IPV so that they're not lost. And this has also helped ignite more discussion statewide on IPV, and some of the preliminary information was presented to legislators at one point, and a presentation on sexual violence was given to the military for their sexual violence advocacy training. So it's been really great so far, and we also just ultimately want to help target screening programs and policies to these high-risk groups. And for our next steps, we want to compare the data that we got here with data from other sources such as the Youth Risk Behavioral Survey and the Domestic Violence Fatality Review. So we also want to conduct focus groups potentially to learn about victim concerns and gather feedback on what they think of our programs and the data collection process, just so that we can get to the other side of the data and see what's really going on the ground up. And that's all. Thank you. And you guys have 7 minutes and 7 seconds to ask some questions. Yes.
Have you looked at MBDRS at
all? No, we haven't. That would be a good idea, though. So, I'm sorry? Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Those are people dying.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's, you know, you could look at factors.
Yeah. Yes.
I wonder if there is any information on sexual orientation available.
Not for the BRFSS, but actually for the YRBS in 2011 onwards, they ask about are you either heterosexual or gay, lesbian, transgender, or bisexual. So I did a similar analysis for sexual or for using YRBS data, but not for intimate partner violence, for suicidal ideation, but that's something that we can definitely do in the future with the YRBS data, looking at dating violence. Yes?
I have an interpretation question.
Sure.
Before I ask it, I want to make sure I'm clear on one thing. The prevalence estimates are for lifetime exposure?
Yeah. It asks, the questions in the module ask, in your like lifetime, have you ever experienced physical violence, et cetera?
So the intriguing thing, they're a bit lower than other surveys have generated for lifetime prevalence. I believe that's correct to say. But it also has me curious if you think that the lifetime prevalence question is actually functionally a proxy for current exposure.
So they actually have additional questions that ask, in the last 12 months, has this happened? So there is the, but that's lower rates than lifetime. So they do have the questions, and we do have that as a potential analysis. Yeah. So they have that for both intimate partner violence and sexual violence, whether specific things have happened, the specific questions have happened in the last 12 months. Yes.
Is there a way to distinguish between those who report not feeling safe answering questions as opposed to those who just don't feel comfortable answering the questions or just don't wish to answer the questions?
No, unfortunately not, because that would be really interesting to look at. The question is just a straight, are you in a safe place to discuss questions on sexual violence, which, sorry, my voice is slowly been losing. The first module is sexual violence. So they ask, are you in a safe place to answer questions about sexual violence? And if they say no, then they don't even go to the intimate partner violence module. And then there are those that are able to say they feel comfortable answering sexual violence questions, or they feel they are in a safe place to answer sexual violence questions. And then when they get to the intimate partner violence module, they ask that question again. So for this analysis, it was anyone that felt unsafe to answer sexual violence or intimate partner violence was not included in the analysis.
Thank you.
Yes.
So age in your analysis, that was age at the time that they answered the survey, right?
Yes. These are really great questions. I stopped the timer, so I'm not sure how many more minutes. Okay, two more minutes. This is always the awkward time. Like, do you clap or do you just keep sitting there? Thank you.